We want to look at Rav Moshe Soloveitchik again, Chidushi Agrama Levi, this time Perek Tes Mehilchas Bias Migdash, Halacha Dal. Okay, so we have that copy. The Rambam says, Ketzad Alaktora Hiktir Evarim, O Komets, O Levona, Alam Izbeah. Chayav Misa, v'hu shehiktir kizayis, v'chenim hiktir k'tores al mizbach hazor, v'sheyaktir kizayis chayav. Aval amaktir k'tores b'yom ha-kipurim, b'kodesh ha-kadoshim, enu chayav Misa leh ad sheyaktir melo chofnov shir ha-mefurish b'torah. So we're talking about the Iser of Haktoras Zar, a non-Kohen, who's Chayev for what we call Misa B'dei Shamayim, for being Machtir on the Mizbeach. And the Rambam breaks this down into a number of different scenarios. He's got the case of Haktoras Haimurim, he's got the case in Menachos of Kometz or Levona. Interesting, the Rambam seems to imply, but that's not a main topic, but I just wanted to point it out, Kometz or Levona, either one itself would engender a chiyuv for this Aver of Zorus. And then he's got the case of Haktores Haktores on the inner Mizbeach, and the Rambam says that the shear in all these cases is Kizayis. The Rambam adds another qualification. He says that if the Zar was Maktir Ktoris on Yom HaKippurim inside the Kodesh Kodashim, in this case he's exempt from Misa. And the reason for that is because he wasn't Maktir what's called Melo Chofnov. And Melo Chofnov, which is called Chafina, when the Kohen digs his hands in and he takes out a handful of Ktoris, and then he brings it on, he puts it on the machta and brings it into the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's the absolute minimum shear for Haktoras Haktoras, to fulfill the mitzvah of Haktoras Haktoras. So basically, the rule is that the Zar will be chayev for usurping the avodah of the Kohen if he does the avodah in a way that fulfills the minimum requirement of the avodah, which would mean kizayis, or in the case of Ktores, it would mean on Yom HaKippur Melo Chofna. So Rav Moshe wants to derive the following conclusion from the Rambam. Asher, Demefurish B'divrei HaRambam Di'af, Dibachol HaKtores, Lo Be'inan Dafto Sheyaktir Kol Ashir Vim Hiktir Azara Kizayis, because the Rambam only mentions two Shiurim with regard to Zorus in HaKtores HaKtores. And in all these cases, he only has the shear of Kizayis. And then, on Yom HaKippurim, he shifts to the Moloi Chofnov. But apparently, if let's say the Tzar was Maktir, the Ktoris during the rest of the year, then the Tzar would be Chayv already, I should say, not only, but already, even though all he was Maktir is a Kizayis. When do we upgrade the minimum requirement of shear for Zorus? That's only with regard to the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim, and there he's not going to be chayv with the Kizayis, he needs Melo Chofnov, the Kol Shelo Hiktir Kol Ashir of Melo Chofnov, Eino Chayv. That's what we see from the Rambam. U'lechore tzorech kam, Meho degam haktoras chutz, lo chilek harambam bein haktoras molech fonov l'shari haktoros. Now Rav Moshe is going to quote a Rambam. Our Rambam here was in Isurim Mizbech. Now Rav Moshe is going to quote a Rambam in Hilchas Maisa Karbonos. And there the Rambam is going to discuss what's called Shchutei Chutz or Halos HaChutz. And there the Rambam is not going to make this distinction with regard to Haktoras Haktoras. He's going to say that in Haktoras Chutz, which by the way doesn't matter whether it's a Kohen or not a Kohen, there the Rambam doesn't have this shear of Malo Chofnov. as far as chutz is concerned. In other words, basically what Moshe is trying to drive at here, is there a fundamental difference between zarus and chutz? And now he quotes the Rambam in Perek Yutes, Mehilchos Maisa Korbanos Halachaches, Kol Dover Shechayovim Al Haloso Bachutz, Kevon Shehelo Mimenu Kizayis Bachutz Chayav. In other words, the Rambam says Kol Dover. Why did the Rambam go out of his way to say Kol Dover? He's including even Haktoras Haktores. And if he was Makti the Haktoras Chutz, then he's going to be Chayav even if he only was Makti or Kizayis. And the klal of the Rambam incorporates all haktoros. The imrak hiktir kizayis bachutz chayv afal pishlo hiktir kol ashir of melo chafnav.
He's assuming that melo chafnav is more than kizayis.
Right. That's for sure. But I thought you were going to say something else. He's assuming stima slosh and a Rambam, meaning if the Rambam didn't qualify, then it applies in all cases. So this is another example of what we call the way the Briskers understand Rambam. If the Rambam doesn't qualify, it means it's unqualified. The Rambam says that the Shir Faktorah, and including all Haktoras Bachutz, is Kizayis. Apparently that includes even Haktoras Haktoras. Even if he was Makdir only a Kizayis, he'll be Chaya for that. Is Gamal Haktoras Shalmoli Chofnav Chayovim Bachutz Al Kizayis Bilvad? So all he was makdir was a kizayis.
Why does it depend?
Let me just read one more line. Sorry, the imrak. You have the photocopy. The imrak hiktir kizayis levad bachutz chayim. V'tzorich iyun maishno din zar maishno midin chutz. Why is it that in zar he's only chayim if he's makdir minimum of below chafnov? With regard to chutz, even if he was only makdir kizayis, he's chayim.
But if the zar. And when we're talking about specifically the Ketairos, which is measured on Yom Kippur by Melo Chafna. Now, who's Melo Chafna, what are we talking about? The Tzar's or the Kohen that he stole it from?
Well, if he hadn't stole it from the Kohen would have done Melo Chafna.
Yeah,
instead,
so
he steps up to the plate, then he does the Melo Chafna.
Yeah, but they may have different size hands, so the one Melo Chafna is not necessarily the other one's Melo Chafna.
That's a good question. I think that question we might be able to address after we understand how this din works, meaning what's the din of Zarus and what's the din of chutz. And what Ramosha wants to do in the next presentation to answer this question is to show you that there's a fundamental difference in how we define the Isur Zarus and how we define the Isur Chutz.
Okay.
So let's just see how he develops this, and then we'll be able to summarize and maybe come to some conclusion. He says the following. Okay, let's start with our definition of the Isur of Zarus. He says the following.
Where are you now?
We're on the paragraph that starts Achen. You see what it says? Hine kol ikar adim? Okay. Yeah, pay base, it should say on the top right. He says the following. That the din of Zar and Chutz means, with regard to Haktores, that Haktora is dependent upon Kizayis. What does that mean, that Haktora depends upon Kizayis? He says the following. When you're talking about a Zar who steps up and usurps the Avodah, the Kohen, or you're talking about someone who takes the Avodah and takes it outside the Azorah, wherever, outside the Heichal, we're talking about a Maisak Torah. And the Shear of Maisak Torah, and with this we know no exceptions, is going to be a Kizayis. For example, anything that depends upon Achilles Mizbeach, let's say Haktoras Haimurim, how much Haimurim do you have to put on the Mizbeach? A minimum of Kizayis. Or if we talk about Achilas Adam, how much of the carbon does he have to eat? Minimum, he would have to eat a Kizayis. That's Amen. The Beis Halevi doesn't agree with me, but in any event. So everything depends upon Kizayis, and Haktorah likewise depends upon Kizayis. A Kizayis is a Maisa Haktorah, and that's called Achilas Mizbeach. Therefore, in both cases of Zar and Chutz, which are chayev misa because of haktara. This one because it was haktar zar. This one because he was makte bachutz. Kizayis is going to mean that he implemented a maisa haktara, and therefore he would be chayev. And therefore, when the Rambam says that by a zar, that in the case of ktores, he needs a malol chafnov. Again, he didn't say that by chutz. He only said it by zar. He says in the case of haktores, haktores shiny. Here, the din of zar is different. And why is that? Nira poshut, the zedek izayis levad havi mais haktora, bazelo shiny haktoras malol chafnov mikol shar haktoros. In other words, just like in other haktoros, the haktora, the mais haktora is done with kizayis, then in the case of haktoras, haktores, it's done with a mole chofnov. Velo shiny haktoras mole chofnov mikol shar haktores. Vegam biktores shel mole chofnov imrak hiktir kizayis. So again, he brought a mole chofnov to the mizbeach. Now he was machtir a kizayis levad. Nikri, it's considered that niskayim mais haktor. Oh, so if that be the case, the definition and the minimum that consists of a mais haktor is equal in all haktoros and in haktoras as well, namely a kizayis. V'had haktoras shel molei chofnav shaini hu rak midin avoda. Here the Rambam wants to know, we have a fundamental distinction between what's called a Maisa HaKtorah and an Avodas HaKtorah. We'll try to clarify this as we go along. With regard to Zar, for example, you need an Avoda. The Zar is Chai because he usurped an Avoda. With regard to Chutz, we're going to be Chai for doing a Maisa HaKtorah. You did a haktorah b'chutz.
As a mice is doing something, avoda is doing something.
Yeah, in both cases we're doing a mice, but in one case what we're doing is an avoda. Avoda has certain, shall we say, direct relationships to whom? Who does avoda? As soon as you hear avoda, Kohen. So I'm not a Kohen. You're a Kohen. I'm not. So if I take and usurp as a czar your place, what I'm doing is I'm implementing an avoda.
No, but usually from a pedagogical point of view, it's maisa versus kefsa or something like that, right? So here you'd say maisa, it's almost like maisa versus maisa, but you're using avoda for maisa.
Correct.
Like,
correct, and this hopefully will become clear. Might be something called a maisa ktora that would not qualify as an avoda.
Okay.
That's what we want to know.
I'll wait.
Okay. He says, "V'ha diktoris molei chafnov shiny." Why is it that in the case of a zar, he's not going to be chayev for what would be a maisak torah? Namely, we just established that a maisak torah, even in the case of ktoris, is only what?
Kizayis.
All you need is a kizayis. The zar went ahead and he was makter the ktoris a kizayis worth, and yet he's not chayev. The Rambam says, "What's going on here?" If we're saying that the minimum shear in general for haktora and anything that's a kizayis is considered Aktora, even in the case of Aktores Aktores, why shouldn't the Zar be chayav for being Machtir a Kizayis on the Mizbeah? The answer is because we're talking now in Zoros not about a Mais Aktora, but a different definition, a different concept, namely what? An Avoda. And he says the following, Pachos Mimolek Chofnov, in the case of Aktores Aktores, if he has more than Moloi Chofnov, less than Moloi Chofnov. Lo avi maisa avoda klal. Again, it might be a maisa aktora, as we'll soon see. I'm going to prove that from the case of chutz, but nevertheless, it's not considered a maisa avoda. Why? De bechol haktoros after chol ashir mi akev kimo shar haktoros. In other words, in general, what we would say is that in all aktoros, it might mean that in order for the aktora to be aktorish kshera, you need to do the entire shir. However, if he does miktas ashir, let's say he does a kizayis, that's called an avoda. Again, it doesn't mean that the avoda is an avoda kshera, but there are many cases where the halacha recognizes it and classifies it as an avoda, even though it doesn't clinch the hechshar karban. So, for example, in all avodos, we can consider kezayis as if he did the avoda. So, for example, let's say he was maktir the guitarist the whole year round, or for example, he's maktir emurim of any zevach. Once he was maktir kezayis, although he hasn't completed the avoda, but nevertheless he did aktara. And therefore, in all other karbonos, if we're going to say that the kezayis worth constitutes and qualifies as an avoda, then the zar is going to be chayev. So the zar is chayev for an avoda, even though as far as the heksher is concerned, he needs the full shear. And the full shear is not enough for kezayis, but it's and it's ma'akev. But nevertheless, as far as zar is concerned, the question is not the shame heksher karbon, but rather the shame avoda. So now we're assuming that the avoda can be considered an avoda with what? With a kezayis. Mikol makom, haktoras miktas. Here we're going up to the top of the left column. Having maisa avoda, again, will that clinch the ritzui carbon, the kaparas carbon, the heksha carbon? The answer is no, but at least it's considered what? An avoda. As far as being ma'akev, we need kulo. Valkeinim hikter azar rakazai is chayiv. Why? Because the zar is chayiv for usurping what? Avoda. And he did that. He took the avoda. The keva dafilu aktoras miktas havi maisa avoda. Even though again the kezayis is not going to be sufficient, but it does qualify as a maisa avoda. Therefore, the zar is going to be chayiv because he usurped the avoda of the kohen. V'dafka b'kezayis mishum depochus mi kezayis lovi maisa avoda klal. If it's less than a kezayis, that's not an avoda. If it is a kezayis or more, it's an avoda. If it's machshir, for that we may need a larger shear. So for example, if we're going to talk about haktoras haktores, the whole year round at least, what we're going to say is that although pochus mi kezayis is not called a maisa haktora, kezayis is not going to be enough to clinch the kiyum ha-karbon, but nevertheless it does have the status of a maisa avoda. And that's why the czar, who's not a kohen, will be chayav misa for a maisak torah of a kezayis. Masha ein came when we get to Yom Kippur. Le'inyan k'torah shel molei chafnav, where the requirement is what? Is molei chafnav. The Rambam has a new shita here. What's the Rambam shita? In hiktir rak miktas, which means he was makter only a kezayis worth, shel molei chafnov, sover Rambam de lo avi mais avoda. The Rambam says that the zar is not going to be chayev in the case of a ketoris that requires molei chafnov for bringing on the mizbeach a kezayis worth. So even though the zar had no right to bring a kezayis worth of haktoris haktoris, and if not, when the shear of molei chafnov is not applicable, then he would be chayev for a kezayis. But here, when we apply the principle of molei chafnov, the Rambam shita is that molei chafnov is not a tnai in the hechsher haktora, meaning at what point am I yotze the mitzvah of haktora, but rather it's a tnai in the fundamental definition of a maisa avoda. In other words, just to take a little break here, and we'll go on, but Rav Moshe's machalik in halacha, we always make the following distinction. We want to know if, let's say, you're missing a certain part of the action. Do we say that the action is completely null and void, right? Or the ultimate impact of the action, meaning the chalos or the kiyum? Like, let's say, for example, if a person would let's say be makabel naziris on himself, and somebody else would say vagamani, and I too, it would be irrelevant whether or not the first nazir became a nazir. What would be relevant is whether he did a maisa of kabbalas naziris, and then when the other person who's not a nazir says ve'ani, and I too. Or maybe has to say, it's a sugi of Yodos, maybe has to say Vigamani, whatever the Lashon is, all he needs for that is a Maisa. So in for example, Malikas Oaf, we may have a Malikas Oaf that's absolutely puzzled. The bird is a trefa, and the Malika is not going to be Maksha, the Karban, and the person who brought this Ola or the Schatas is going to have to replace it. But it still is considered a Maisa Malika. And a Maisa Malika itself, if the halacha recognizes it, could have many different implications. For example, it might be Motzi, Motzi of midei tumas beis ablia. It might be effective such that if he has a machshava pigul, he'd be chayev for a machshava's pigul. So there are many dinim, and this is something that we have to see throughout all of Shas, throughout all of Halacha. Are we saying that if a certain condition was not fulfilled, then okay, the maisa was done, but it cannot effectuate its chalos, its impact? Or are we saying no, that we're going to undermine the maisa itself? So, for example, if you want to ask the question of a kezayis worth of maloch chafnov in the case of ketores, you can ask the following: is it a maisa voda, but just it's not enough to be kosher? Why? Because you need a full shear of kemole chafnov. What are we saying? That it's mafkir, the very shame avoda, and it's not called an avoda at all. That the minimum shear of haktores, as far as generating an avoda, is a complete mole chafnov. And then Afkamina is going to be as far as a Zara is concerned. A Zara is only chai for what? For usurping the Avodah, the Kohen. If we're going to say that less than Malay Chafnov is not considered an Avodah, then the Zara hasn't implemented a Mais Avodah. Comes along Rav Moshe, and he wants to say that from the fact that the Rambam says that if the Zar was makir only a kezayis worth of the Ketores, he's potur, it must mean that the shear of Molei Chafnov in the case of Ketores is not just the shear in the Hechsher Avoda and the Kiyum Karmon, but it's a shear in the very basic definition of Avoda. The Alkanen, therefore, after Gam Molo Chafnov, Bekezayis Levad Avi Maisak Torah, Mikomakom Potter Azar, Afti Osa Maisak Torah, came in the Pochus Mol Chafnov Loavi Mais Avoda. So the Machayev of Zoros is the Avoda. And even though I'll grant you that less than a full Mole Chafnov, a Kezayis worth of Ktores would be enough to generate a Maisak Torah, how do I prove that, by the way? How do I know that even a Kezayis is enough for a Maisak Torah?
How do you know it?
Yeah, from everything that we've done until now. Can you prove it to me? I'll give you a hint from Yotze. Right? How much was he makter chutz le'echal? Only a kezayis worth. And the Rambam says he's chayv misa for that. So you see already that as far as a maisak Torah is concerned, the definition is kezayis. Yet the Rambam turns around in Hilchos Bias Migdash, he says the Zar who was makter a kezayis worth of the Ketores instead of Molei Chafnov is potur. He says the following: Ikar Yisod v'Isur v'Chiyuv Zar hu rak al din avoda. So, with regard to avoda, we're saying that the avoda requires melo chafnov. That's how the Torah envisions the avoda. Less than that is not an avoda at all, and therefore the zar is potter. Ashal v'fi zar einicha divrei Rambam. That if you're talking about a maisak Torah on the mizbeach, for example, if you're talking about a machsheves psul and violating whatever isur he violates with haktorah, in this case he violates the isur chutz. If he was makter kezayis out of the heichal, then the shear of kezayis dominates. The gam b'moli chachnu b'aktorah sakzayis b'ilvad avi maisak Torah. Even in the case where he requires melo chafnov, at least the kezayis worth is considered a maisa avoda. Again, he's not going to be chayv as a zar because we're lacking a shame maisa avoda, but we have a maisa ketorah. Gekeva, now since it's got an ika kan maisa ketorah, and he's only put in the case of zar because it's not called an avoda. So for a Rambam, that's only as far as Zoros is concerned. The isa of Zoros is totally in the avoda. The ikar din dino hu zar sha'ovan. Correct?
Yeah, right.
Like, for example, Shechita Kshera Bazar. So there we're not going to call it an Avodah, and therefore the Zar is not usurping the Avodah of the Kohen. But Maisak Torah, we can still validate the status of a Maisak Torah, even below Maisa Avodah. So whereas, with regard to Zoros, to be Machayev the Zar, we need a Maisa Avodah, that we don't have, unless we have Molo Chafnov. Mashenkin Linyin Din Chutz. What is the Torah prohibiting you to do Chutz? Has nothing to do with doing an Avoda. There is no Avoda Chutz. The Torah is saying that he's chayav for doing a Maisa, which is like a Maisa that he did inside the Mizbech and should have been inside the Migdash and should have been implemented inside the Migdash. That's called, in the case of Haktoras, Haktoras, a Maisa, Haktora. V'ikar Dino Eino Tolui B'din Avoda. You don't need the definition of Avoda. And for example, Shchutei Chutz is the classical case for which you're chayev. And you're talking about Shchita. Shchita lav avodah, and that's why Zara is kosher l'shchita. So why you chayev for Chutz on Shchita? The answer is that the machayev of Chutz is not avodah, but rather the Maisa Shchita, or the Maisa Allah. You know, you put something on the Mizbeach. That's called Zrika. Or you were makter something on the Mizbeach. What I mean by Mizbeach is, in this case, would be a bummer. What I mean to say, let's not get confused, we're talking about Chutz, so it's outside of the Mizbeach. So even though he's only doing a Maisa Shchita, Maisa Allah, Maisa Haktorah, he's Chayev Bachutz. And therefore, even if in the case where the Torah requires him Aloy Chofnov, he was only Machtir Bachutz, a Kezayis, Mikomakom Havi Maisa Haktorah, once he does a Maisa Haktorah Bachutz, he's Chayev for Chutz. Mashenkein, as far as Zoros is concerned, for that you need a higher standard. When is he going to be Chayev as a Zar? That's only if he usurps what? The Avoda. And even if we say that he did a Maisa Haktorah, but nevertheless it's not considered an Avoda. So I was thinking, according to this whole presentation of Rav Moshe, this would have perhaps some implications as far as what I call a Machshava Poselis. Because a Machshava Poselis would be Chal, even without an avoda, if you do the Maisa. So for example, the classical cases of Machshava Poselis, of Chutzvana, Chutzimkoma, Shalom Lishma, are all in Shechita. And yet Shechita is not an avoda. Or in Malika, and it's parallel in Ophos, which is also not an avoda. So the question is, L'chora Machshava Poselis should be Chal only at the time of an avoda. Why is there a Machshava Poselis in Shechita? The answer is because Machshava Poselis is not totally in the shame avoda, but rather it's totally in the shame Maisa Shechita. And if you had a Maisa Shechita, and attached to that Maisa Shechita was the wrong Machshava, that's going to passel the karma. So again, let's just summarize this: Hafkos Maisa Avoda, and Hafkos Maisa Haktara.
But I still have an unanswered question as to who's Mochafnav we're talking about here, about the Tsar or the Kohen.
So now that we've established that during the course of the year you chay for an Avoda, so you don't even need Molochavtav. All you need is a Kezias. Why? Because a Kezias is considered an Avoda even as far as Haktorah. Now we fast forward to Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, the shear of the Avoda is Molochavtav. Now the question is, if he was Makter only what?
Kezias.
Only Kezias, he's Potter. And why is he Potter? Because he's a Zar, and a Zar is only Chai for an Avoda, and a Kezias is not considered an Avoda. If on the other hand he's chayav for an avoda, what's the standard of avoda? That's going to be moli chafanav, right? A chafina.
But still, it doesn't tell you who's moli chafanav. He is,
right?
Or the Kohens.
What would you say? I mean,
I would say it was the Kohens.
But again, you know, once you call it a Maisa Avoda...
But it's not his Avoda. He's not Shayach.
Yeah, but again, his Avera is not vis-a-vis this Kohen Gadol, I don't think.
It's
not a Bein Adam L'Chavero. I've taken away your Avoda. It means I took away an Avoda. So whatever the Shir of Moli Chofnav is, for example, you have a Kohen with larger hands, maybe his Moli Chofnav is large, you know, like... Oh, Mel HaBoshen has a different shear of Molech Lubav than you have. But again, as long as it would be considered the Avoda, had it been done by the Kohen, right? If it would have been done, right? Well, what we're trying to do is set up, in the case of Zoros, an Avoda which would replace the Avoda of a Kohen. So I just have to get the abstract concept or definition of avoda.
Yeah, but on Yom Kippur.
In other words, the shear of Kezias is going to be absolutely objective, universal for everyone.
That's right.
That's absolute.
But a Kohen, it's not absolute because it depends on the size of his hand. So if you have a small Kohen, a really small Kohen, and the Tsar had very large hands. Well, that he doesn't want to ask someone to do it the other way around. It was a very large Kohen. And a very large Kohen and a very small Tsar. So it makes a huge difference because the vice is that the Kohen himself would not be Yotze unless he was Melo Chafnav.
Correct.
So it would be,
but I still think that we're not talking about a shear of amount. We're talking about a shear in avoda.
Yeah, but
if we're talking about the amount, you're right. Maybe the amount for the Kohen is different than the amount for the Zar. But if we're talking about a shear avoda, then the Zar is implementing a shear.
Why isn't it though that the avoda is defined by the shear on Yom Kippur?
No, I'm saying the shear itself is in any particular Kohen has its own shear. So that if that shear is fulfilled, but in this case it's implemented by Zar, he's going to be chai for that avoda, because that itself would have been an avodas Kohen that would be recognized by the Torah. Now I'd like to learn with you from this Sefer, Chidush HaGram VaGrid, Hilchos Korban Pesach. You got that photocopy? I gave it to you last week. If not, I had it over here, but I don't know, somebody cleaned it off. I guess they finally got it. Let me see. No. Hilchos Korban Pesach. We started it last week. You have to have it somewhere in your archives, because we started it, but we didn't. That's it. Right. It should say page. Just one second. No. This also confuses me. Sorry. Yeah, that's the one. So it'll say Samach Tes on the top left. Okay, then we're talking about the Isur Doraisa of taking the Basar Karban Pesach, what's called Chutz Le Chabura. In other words, every Chabura has to eat the Karban Pesach in its place, and if he takes the Karban Pesach out of its place, then he violates this avera of chutz lebeso, of motzi korban pesach mi beso. So now the Rambam wants to know what's considered chutz lebeso, and in order to define chutz lebeso, the Rambam stretches his arm out to the halachos of kodshim. What do I mean of kodshim? Obviously, Korban Pesach is kodshim, but here we're talking about a different kind of dimension of kodshim. We're talking about eating something in your bias, right? So the question of what's considered outside of the parameters of your bias, the Rambam says, hinges upon another question. And that's the question of what's called chalonos v'ovi hakoslim. In other words, the walls of one's house have certain spaces in them or windows in them.
Whether they're considered milayim or
not. Oh, so this becomes very relevant. For example, when you talk about achilas kodshe kodshim, and it has to be eaten in the azara. So how far can we stretch the azara? Let's say there's certain windows, and it can stand inside the window, or at the thickness of the kosel. Maybe there's certain cavities in the walls that surround the azara. So how do we consider them and how do we define them? Are those considered part of the Azara or not part of the Azara? Nafkamina is whether you can eat kachikachim there. Or, for example, there's something called gagim valios, which means there are structures that might enter into the airspace of the Azara, but yet they're not connected to the ground, because maybe they're grounded outside the Azara, but yet they swing over, I don't know what word I want to use here, they bend over, arch over into the Azara. Those are called Gagim Valios. So the Rambam says, if you want to define what's considered the bias for the Achilas Pesach in the Chabura, and what's considered Hotzah Chutzla bias, so the Rambam says, Klach Lecha, you should stretch your arm out to the laws of Kodshim as far as Achilu is concerned, as far as Shechita Bazara, by the way, is even in the case of Kodshim Kalim. So the Rambam says that let's make a distinction here between Gagim Valios on the one hand and the Ovi Hakoslim Haksolim and Chalonos on the other hand. And the Rambam says the following. He says that min ha'gaf vilifnim. I think the agaf is what we call a threshold, I think, in English. And you know, if you close the door, for example, part of the threshold will be on the inside and part will be on the outside. So he says, Minagaf lefnim kilefnim. Minagaf, it means that certain parts of the threshold area are considered bifnim, and therefore you can eat the Korban Pesach there without violating the din of Hotzah Bachutz. And then he says that in the case of the chalonos, the oviak solim, right, those window spaces and so forth in the walls, kilifnim, that's also considered inside the bayis. However, gagim valios, eino bichlal bayis, which means that if you have, let's say, some sort of a rooftop, and you would go ahead and eat the carbon, bring the carbon pesa from downstairs onto the roof, you would be in violation of this prohibition of hotzas ha-pesa pachutz. That's a summary of the Rambam. What's the source for the Rambam? So the source for the Rambam is a sugya in Pesachim, but the only problem is that the sugya in Pesachim is a little bit more complicated than what the Rambam is making out. The Gagim Valios is not, you know, is not considered part of the Azara. And that's halacha in what we call Kiddush. Kiddush means that when the Azara was sanctified, it was sanctified up to, but not including, the rooftops and these alios, meaning these floors that are above the roof. And that's halacha in Chalos Kedushas Migdash V'Yerushalayim. I think when he mentions Yerushalayim, he's referring to Kochim Kalim, or, for example, Maaseh Sheni, that you're allowed to eat Kochim Kalim anywhere in the Ksolim or the Mechitzos that's around Yerushalayim. And you asked me the question, well, what about houses that maybe arch over the chomos of Yerushalayim? The answer is that those gagim are not sanctified with Kedushas Hazor, with Kedushas Yerushalayim. That's the source for the Rambam. You know, it's this whole distinction between chalonos v'oviak solim on one side of the equation, and alios v'gagim on the other side of the equation, as far as hotzos korban pesach bachutz. The source for that is in kodshim, in defining the kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash. You remember, Abosa, we had a long discussion once about whether the kiddush of the Ritzpas Hazor goes all the way down to the core of the earth. You remember that? You need a Maisa kiddush. The Gemara vacillates how far David HaMelech went with that Maisa kiddush. And here also we have a whole sugya in Pesachim Daf Pehei about whether the kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash included also the Gagim Valios, and the Gemara differentiates between Gagim Valios on the one hand, Lonis Kadoshu, whereas the Ksolim and the Chalonos and the Ovi Aksolim are considered Lifnim. So Rav Salveitchik says, I don't understand. Tzarech Im. Didin Gagim Valios Nemru Bilchus Kiddush. That's Halachic Kiddush. My shaite, what relationship does that have to the Easter of Hotzos HaPesach mi bayis labayis? The Torah is talking about a bayis. And the Torah says you have to eat the Korban Pesach where? In the bayis. And you can't go out of this bayis into another bayis. What does that have to do with Kiddush? You know, you're talking about halachas of Kiddush. You want to know, when the Kiddush was done, did it include the Gagim as well? Did it include the Alios as well? Did it include the Kosley, you know, the Oviak Solid? Those are very interesting questions, and very pertinent questions if you're dealing with Kiddush. But now we're not dealing with Kiddush. There's no extra Kedusha to this bias as opposed to this bias, or to the Aliyah or the Gagos of this bias or the other bias. The question is, what is a bias? At what point have you taken it outside the bias? Umasha kolal b'inyan alav dehotzah dinei ha-mishnah b'psachim. And the Rambam comes up with the following distinction as far as Hotzah HaPesach Mibayis, the Chalonos V'Oviak Solim, V'Oviak Homos is Kilifnim. He says, Gam Tzarechim, the Gam Dinim Elu Nemru Le'inyan Kiddush HaMikdash V'Yushalayim. So you want to know what the status of Chalonos are, or the status of Oviak Solim are? Okay, that's a sugya in Masechet Pesachim Daf Pehe with regard to Kiddush HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim. Has many nafkaminas in terms of achila, in terms of shchita, and in terms of shchutei chutz. All that is fine and dandy, but einam shayachim l'inyan isa otzos haPesach mibayis lebayis. How does the Rambam stand on the shoulders of this sugya Pesachim and all the minute distinctions made by the sugya Pesachim, which is a sugya about Kiddush Yerushalayim about Mikdash, and derive conclusions by analogy to the Isur of Hotzos HaPesach Mibayis Labayis? Fine, now he quotes the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, V'elu Hagdorim Shenosam Mikzosam Klap Kilifnim Mikzosam Klap Echutz Kolim Shlol Sheprakim Ratzalom HaZorav Mamedina V'chaburis HaPesach. This is the Rambam Lishitoso. The Rambam addresses the issue of what is considered part of the Azara, what's part of the Heichal, etc., etc. And in the list of Nafkaminas, he says Chaburas Pesach. As if to say, and that's what we saw in the Yad HaChazaka, that if you define the Azara in one way, then that definition is going to apply as far as bias labias in Hotzas HaPesach. Hare da Rama Mefarish da Mishnah Koi Bein Linyan Kedushas HaMikdash Yerushalayim Bein Linyan Yisra Otzos HaPesach Mibayis Labayis Ushravayu Chad Dinahu. The Rambam sees them all as one din. Aval Etzem HaDover Tzorech Biyu. So on both sides, what the Rav Zichron Levrach is about to do is he's about to make what I call a paradigm shift. And he's going to tell you that the sugya that deals with gagos and alios and oviak solim and chalonos, that sugya has nothing to do with maisa kiddush. If that sugya is predicated on the question that we asked originally, what is the extent, the scope of the kiddush, then we're in deep trouble because there's no room for an analogy to bias labias in hotzaas haPesach. But rather, apparently, there was no Kiddush, and that's according to everyone, it's not even a Havmin otherwise, there was no Kiddush to Gagos, Alios, and to Chalonos.
Why is it?
So why do they have a din of, again, at least in the case of Chalonos and Oviak Solomon, a din of Azara, a din of Yerushalayim as far as Kachim Kalim are concerned? That's what the Rambam has in the analogy to Bais Labais. This is what you call Hilchos Makom, not Hilchos Kiddush, but Hilchos Makom. Give me just a minute to get to the punchline. Asher Nira Muchach Mizeh, the Yisod Din Shel Gagim Valios, on the one hand, and Ovi Achoma V'Ovi HaPesach on the other hand, Lo Nemru B'Din Kiddush. That's not what the focal point, the subject of the sugya is, to make these distinctions. Was it included in the Kiddush? Was it not? In Behechi Timsa, if in reality Niskachu or Lo Niskachu, you know, go back in a time machine and figure out historically what were they Makadish, what was the scope of the Kiddush? Ki im, but rather Bidine Makom.
Bidine what?
Makom. Makom. So there are two words here in this piece of Torah that you want to underline. One word is Makom, and the other word is Memela, which is coming up in a few lines.
When he says Makom, it means whether it meets the definition of the existing makom.
Yeah, is it part of the existing makom or is it a separate makom? Like, take for example, you want to know whether you're part of a minyan.
Yeah.
So you have to daven in the makom at tzibur. Now I'm in a side room. Is that one makom or two makoms?
Depends on whether there's a tzibur in there or not.
No, I'm saying there's a tzibur in there.
Yeah.
And I'm davening in here.
That's okay.
Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. We're not going into Pesach Halach over here.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you on what the issue is contingent, what it hinges on.
But Alan Dobbins in the shingles.
That's okay.
It's important.
I also dominate, but you got to keep the door open anyway. What I mean to say is, in Kol HaTorah Kula, we have to talk about one makom and two makoms. Let's say, for example, you want to dip into the Birchas Kohen. So are you in the same makom as the Kohanim or you're not? For example, the women want to be Yotzi Zayin, Tefillah Mitzivah, Kriyas HaTorah Mitzivah, Birkas HaKohanim Mitzivah, and so forth and so on. They're up in the in the attic, right? In the old days, I'm talking. Today, it's not like that in the modern synagogues. Yeah. But in the old synagogues, the women were up on the second floor.
Yeah.
I have a beautiful painting in my house. I don't have the original, but a reproduction of a shul that exists today in Prague, in Czechoslovakia. It's called the Kloy Shul. The Nazis in Achmon left 5 shuls in Prague, which they didn't destroy because that was meant to be the museum of the nation that vanished, you know, after they finished their Judenrein, right? So these are the 5 shuls that still exist. If you're ever in Prague, you can't be in Prague and not see these shuls. You'll have to see these shuls. So we have a painting which is a very exact duplicate of that shul, and the women are up on the top floor. It's very interesting because usually the Ezra Snoshim is on both sides. In this case, it's only on one side. And immediately when they took me to see the shul, I started declaring to myself, are the women going to be Yotzei if they're all the way up on top? You know, in their Chanukah's halach of Ad Chof Amo or Sukkah Yoschal. And then they're Chof Amo and above. And they're not sitting on the ground. You know, they're not together with the tzibur. So all this depends on what we call Hilchus Makom. And Hilchus Makom is a massive, you could write a massive volume, call it Hilchus Makom. I don't know if anybody's written such a book, but if not, we have to write it, right? So where do I look for Hilchus Makom? So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look for Hilchus Makom in Beis HaMikdash, in Kodshim. Why? I'm going to tell you, well, I can only eat the Kodshim in a Makom that's called the Azara. And now I have an attic or a rooftop. Is that part of the Azor? Is it not? Does it have one makom? So you're going to tell me, Rabbi Berzon, with all respect, you're full of hot air. Because that has nothing to do with Hilchus Makom. That has to do with Hilchus Kiddush. Were they Mekadosh the Aliyos together with the Azor, with the ground of the Azor? Were they not Mekadosh the Aliyos? Comes along Rav Soloveitchik and he says, Nay. They weren't Mekadosh the Aliyos. They weren't Mekadosh Oviak Solim. They weren't Mekadosh the Gagim. And that's a Dover Pashut. But now we have a halacha called Memela. What's Memela? Memela means that if they were Mekadosh of Makom, then they were Mekadosh the Makom. Now go ahead and find out what's considered Makom. For that you have to learn Hilchus Makom. You have to open up that volume that maybe has been written or maybe not called Hilchus Makom. If we define the Gagos as one Makom, as the ground floor, right? This could be no get to various malls, you know. Let's say I enter into a barter deal with you and I buy the mall. Are the Gagos included in the sale or not, right? That's how Lachin Hilchus Makom. I bought a certain Makom, now define the Makom. So the Mela of Rav Soloveitchik says there are two dinim in Kiddush. There's one din in the Maisa Kiddush itself. The Maisa Kiddush might be limited to X, and I'm being Makadish this particular place. And that's where the Kiddush is. But then there's another halacha called Memela. Memela means that anything that's included in that makom that I was Makadish, Memela, that Kiddush is Chal Memela. It's almost like it spreads. Gosh. Now, I want to know whether the Kiddush of the Azor includes the Gagos. The Nafkavina is going to be in Hilchus Pesach. Why? What difference to make? I'm eating the Pesach on my ground floor in my bias. Now I want to go up and finish it on the Gag. Right? I got a beautiful view of Yerushalayim from my rooftop. So let me finish the eating, the carpesk on my roof. The answer is depends. Is it considered one makom or is it another makom? This is anybody who's learned even superficially Hilchus Brachos, right? You made a bracha here and now you want to continue eating there. And there may be many conditions that have to be met, but the most basic fundamental condition's got to be in the same makom. So if I go from one bais to the other, I have to make a new bracha because of shin and makom. So the question is here, in bias labias, is it a shir makom? Right? Each bias is considered a makom, and it has its circumscribed area, its parameters. And now if I take it beyond that, I've gone into a different makom, I violated the Yisrael Tzosa Pesami bias labias. So the Rambam says, well, how am I going to know? You know, give me a litmus test that's going to determine for me what's considered a new makom. Says the Rambam, I'm going to take a look at the Sugyim Psachim that addresses the issue of Makom HaMakudosh. And if I'm going to see that the Kiddush applies to that Makom, then I know it's all one Makom. Let's see it inside. He says, the Yisod Din Shel Gagim V'Aliyos V'Yovi Achom V'Yovi HaPesach Lo Nemru B'Din Kiddush. We're not talking about the actual historical Maisa Kiddush. There was no Kiddush. But I havi chad makom im mashetachteim, is the roof considered the same place al pidin as the ground floor? O dilma da havin shtei makomos chalukim. Ubir adoveru deleka makadish bifnei atzma al gagim valios. There was never a maisa kiddush on the gagim valios. Elakol chalos din kiddusham. How do they get? How do you generate a kiddush without a maisa kiddush? That's magical. Who rak mi da havyon chad makom im shara migdash. Umemela, that's the word I wanted you to underline. Umemela im ha makom miskadesh is miskachim gam heim, because the kedushas makom includes anything that's in the makom. But now we say that in hilchas makom is choluk gagim valios, there's a fundamental difference between the rooftops and the windows. The windows and the space between them are considered one makom, and the makom extends even into the windows. But it doesn't include the gag. So therefore, with regard to gagim valios, we're going to say gagim valios havi makom bifnei atzmo. It's zwei pletzer, the two different platzes, right? And then you're going to be chai fotzos chutz lebayis if you bring the pesach, the basar pesach, up to the rooftops. When we're talking about the windows, mikri chad makom, that's considered one makom. And the miskadish imashar, what word do we want to add here? Miskadish imashar, memela. You hear that word memela? Not to an active maisa kiddush, but memela because it's all one makom. This is so typical of the derech halimud, because he's first of all separating between hilchos kiddush as a maisa kiddush and hilchos kiddush as a makom. Secondly, he's distinguishing between kodshim in general as a din mesuyam and bias as a separate din, two fundamentally different dinim. And now he's joining the two dinim and making them interdependent because they all emanate from one single question, one single definition, hilchos makom. Now, Kain Shita Sarabim he debedina chiluk makomos. What's going to be kovea? What's going to determine if it's one makom or two makomos? Klach lecha, you're going to stretch your arm out to dine kedushas migdash v'sholayim, and that's the same din as bias labias. Now, here, do you see the word ella, which is three lines up before the end of the paragraph? Three lines and change, right? So here, you have to hit the return button. It's simply a printer's mistake. This is a new paragraph that starts L. Because what the Rav has assumed here is a very problematic premise. I don't mind if the Rav is telling me that the Rambam holds that, you know, you have to determine whether or not he's left a bias and he's in a different makom in order to be motzi the Pesach, and we're going to determine that based on whether the gagim in Migdash are going to be considered another makom, or the memela kiddush of the makom azor is going to chal in the gagim. All that I can accept, but there's one major premise here that I have a problem with, and that's why I think this Ella is going to address, and that is, why weren't they makadish the gagim and the alios? Okay, you're right. In Hilchos Makom, the only potential candidacy for expanding the Kedushas Makom of the Azorah into the Gagim, up to the Gagim, including the Gagim, is Hilchos Makom. Is it one Makom? But let's ask a more fundamental question. Historically, let's go back in the so-called, what do we call it, the time machine. When they were Makadish, why weren't they Makadish the Gagim? Why weren't they Makadish the Aliyos? Why were they only Makadish the Azora on the bottom? And here the Rav pulls another fast one here, another paradigm change. He writes on the bottom, he says, El de'etzem adina dayin tzarech biur. Again, this should be a new paragraph. Nehi de gagim valios he makomos chalukim mimashetachteyem. I have no problem dealing with this premise that the gag is separate from the house itself. Oh, I just realized. The best Mishnah in Shas, in my opinion, to understand what he's saying here about whether the gagim is one makom or not, is a Mishnah in Bava Basra called Abayis Valiyah. That's the name of the parak. That's the only reason I remember the Mishnah, because it's the name of the parak. The question is, if I sell you the bayis, are the aliyos, are the attics included in the sale? That's how Loch and Ilgis makom. I sold you one makom, now you want to claim that it includes a larger area. Is it considered one makom or not? I got excited about that. Sorry. Okay, you told me that the question is whether the makom is part of the makom, and now we're saying the gagim are not part of the makom. Wonderful. But why wasn't there a kiddush, a maisa kiddush on the alios and on the gagim? Oh, here he has a paradigm shift. Valkei mira, okay, top left. The hod be inam be gagim valios vechalonus v'yovi hachoma kiddush b'toras chad makom. That the only way we can possibly postulate that these places are considered part of the kiddush is because of chad makom. The einam nitfasim be kiddush b'fnei atzmo. They were never subject to the active kind of a maisa kiddush. Why not? Here's the punchline. Hu mishum di einon nichnasim lemidos hazorah. Here Rav Soloveitchik introduces another concept, and we shouldn't ignore this concept, and that's the halach of midos. We have midos as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, then we have midos as far as the Kodesh Kadoshim, and as far as the Azorah, and as far as the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mizbeach has to be just this size and that size. And we're going to derive that from Psukim HaKol B'Ksav. It's possible, and I think it's Divrei HaYomim, where everything has to be transmitted, and it was transmitted in a document with the exact measurements. He says the following, that the Maisa Kiddush only applies to what we call midos hazara. Let's say we're talking about azara. Again, we can extrapolate other things, but let's talk about the azara. And the answer is, as far as kiddush b'fnei atzmo is concerned, that maisa kiddush that we spoke about, then is something called a cheftza v'azara. What's the cheftza azara which was victimized, so to speak, which was objectified with a maisa kiddush? That's the midos of the Azorah. The measurements of the Azorah are going to determine what the physical object called the cheftz of the Azorah is concerned, and then there's going to be a maisa kiddush on that cheftz of Azorah, which is limited and defined by its midos. Above and beyond that, you have a kiddushas makom. But as far as the maisa kiddush is concerned, you're bound and limited by the midos Azorah. V'chol chalos kiddushasam hirak al yidei Shar Azor, but in all these cases, and again, this includes all four cases, we have the cases again of Chalonos, Ovi Achomos, we have the Alios, we have the Gagim, 4 for 4, we're batting 100. Why? Because in all four cases, there's not going to be a Kiddush B'fnei Atzmo, it's not a Cheftz of the Azorah, because it's outside the Midos of the Azorah. The only possible way now, the only channel that's open to be Makadish these areas is through, not a Kiddush B'fnei Atzmo, but rather a Kiddush through Makom, that these are considered part of one Makom. And therefore, the Azorah, insofar as its Kiddush now could expand to include other places, is it one Makom or not? And that's where the Gemara in Pesachim concludes, the Rambam Paskins in the Liskar Pesach regarding Pesach Mibayis Labayis, that the Gagos and the Chalonos are two different halachas. And as far as the Gagos are concerned, that's considered Trey Makomos. As far as Chalonos is concerned, it's going to be considered Chad Makom. And based on this, the Rambam wants to shed a new light on a Sugin Zvachim, on Daf Nun Vav. I think they've gotten up to Nun Vav already, right? I'm a little bit ahead, so I don't know where they're up to. Choflam Mem Nun Sam. Yeah, they're in the Samachs already, right? Yeah, you don't have to look it up.
I remember exactly.
Yeah, they're in the Samachs. I'm in the Ions already, but they're in the Samachs. Oh, this is the case of Lishakos. So they had various structures that were built outside the Azorah, as the foundation is outside the Azorah. That's called Bnuyos Bechol. But you could enter in from the airspace of the Azorah into these Lishakos. Right? Lishakos is the plural of Lishka. Right? All around the Azorah were various Lishakos. And the Gemara establishes that Ika Lehem Kedushas Azorah, that since the airspace of the Azorah enters into these Lishakos, even though Lishakos are built where? Chol, is then le'inyan achilas kodshe kodshim, which kodshe kodshim have to be eaten in the Azorah. Afal gav di enam shayochos klal lechefzim v'tzur shal Azorah ibnuyis b'chol hen. So the Rav says, I don't understand. How can the Gemara assume that you're allowed to eat kodshe kodshim inside these Tischei, the openings into the Lishakos, the Bnuyas Bechol, if the Bnuyas Bechol is not part of the Tzuras HaMikdash, Tzuras HaZora, he can't call it a Cheftza Shal HaZora. Says Rav Soloveitchik, name. It's not the Kiddush of the Maisa Kiddush. It's not the Maisa Kiddush was done only on the Azara with its Midos, limited by its Midos. Here the Kedusha is a Kedusha Ba Memela. Do you see that word again? Memela, that's the key word. Al Yidei Shara Azara. Since the Lashakos are open into the Azara, the Kedusha Azara includes any Makom that opens into it and is within its airspace, including the Lashakos. Vehine, Bipsachim, I'll try to make this fast, we're not going to be able to finish this, but just another 10 lines and I'll let you go. Vehine, Bipsachim, Dach Peva, Parach Begmar, Al Hadu, Chalonus, Ovi, Yakim, Kilifnim, Amai, Ein Dinam, Kegagim, Vealios. The Gemara in Pesachim wants to know why is it that if you're allowed to eat Kodshe Kodshim in the Chalonos and the Ovi Achoma, why can't you eat Kodshe Kodshim, the Gagim, and the Alios? Umeshani, the Gemara answers, Bishavin lekarka hazara. What is the case of whatchamacallit, of Chalonos and Ovi and Oviak Solim? That's where these are places which are what? Are Shavim lekarka hazara. Okay, I have to define that a little bit sharper. I apologize. Shavim lekarka hazara. Anyway, what do we want to get about now? Of course, the Alios and the Gagos are all the way on top, so that's not called shavim lekarka hazara. I think shavim lekarka hazara means, okay, if somebody could get a Gemara Pesachim for me. Okay, I don't want to disturb you now. John, you're very good at this. Can you just hop very quickly and get me a Pesachim Peivav right here on this wall? Take the art scroll so we'll make it easy. I'm sorry. That was very dumb what I just said to you. What I meant to say was the other side of this wall. That's what I meant to say. Wait. Just give me two more minutes. And he says that the Gemara says that the difference between what? Between Oviak Solim and what do you call it? And the Chalonos on the one end, and Gagos and Alios on the other end, is that the case of Chalonos is called Shavim Lekarka Azor. If you could find those three words for me, John, I would be very appreciative. Daf Peivav. Of course, he doesn't tell you where it's from, Aleph from it Beis. That would have been helpful. Hare Mevuar. What does the Rav get out of this? The lav dafka gagim valios mufkoyim mikdusha sazora. In other words, if lu yitzur theoretically, I don't know how you would imagine this in reality, but if let's say in a theoretical world you would have different layers in terms of the what's the line called, the equator, I guess you call it, right? If let's say you would have, you know, one building would be above the equator and one subterranean would be below the equator.
And longitude and longitude.
Right around here.
Yeah, I was hoping you would bring me the article just to save me time here.
I'll give me the article.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize. Just because I don't have time now, I want to let everybody go. It's already 3:00.
What about Amir Pesed?
Well, wait, just give me one second. Amir Pesed is a very serious issue here. He says the following. He says that theoretically, let's say you would have a building that was structured in such a way that the Gag would be parallel to the Ritzvah Hazara.
Right.
He says in that case, then there would be no difference whatsoever between Alios and Gagos and the other cases of Chalonos and Ovia Achoma. Ulechara Tamua. Darei Ba'azora Havion Harvi Mekoma Shayu Bolton V'yotzin V'lohayu Shavim Maritzvah. There are many places that weren't exactly parallel to the Ritzvah, and yet, nevertheless, they're considered part of the Azara. Ah, but according to the Tzvei Dinim that we established, we have an answer now. Habir, what does Gemara mean in Masechta Zvachim? Tehine Mashiv Tov Midos Azara. Eino Shayach Klalach Dina Degagim. That's upgrade. That's for sure a Maisa Kiddush. Correct, a Maisa Kiddush. Where is it, John? I'm so sorry.
Peivav.
Yeah, I know, but where on the page? I'm just trying to save time. I'm so sorry.
It's around here.
No, here. This is why. This is why I hassled you to get the Gemara. Can you find it? Me, just take a minute to find it. He says the following. The im ach makom zeh betoch midos hazara, and all these different areas that stretch out from the hazara, they're part of the midos hazara. The original calculation, they were part of the midos hazara. Like you talk about the midos of the mizbech, you have the yisod and the saviv and so on. Is memela who bechal chefzah shal zara? No, if it's bechal chefzah shal zara, if it's included in the midos, then we have what? Maisa kiddush, not menela, but maisa kiddush. Is vidin kiddush or yachnim azor? But in chalonos and ovi choma, etc., etc., those are chutz lemidos azora. And the Rav has another sugi on daf nun vav to prove this. Is therefore on the next page he says kiddushasam he kiddusha de memela. It's not part of the azora. It's not included in the midos. It's not a chepz of the azora. Is therefore it can only become miskadish by being one makom. Chomos v'chalonis hazora chad makom is there for the kedushas chal. Masha enkein, as far as gagiv alios, it's a different makom, and therefore it's not chal. Thank you so much.
Your hand is right there.
I got it. I saw where your hand is.
Okay.
He says the following. He says that bishagagoseim shavim lekarka hazora. The English translation reads as follows. These are chambers whose rooftops will level, I call the equator line, I don't know, level, I think that's what you might say, level, with the floor of the courtyard. Courtyard means the Azor. Maybe it'll help me in the footnote. Who wrote this? The British?
I don't think so.
I.e., he says the chambers were actually caverns hollowed out under the ground of the courtyard. Like, that's what I call subterranean. It's very strange. These were sort of adjuncts to the Azora that were built below ground on the two sides of the Azora. He calls it hollowed out caverns that were hollowed out under the ground of the courtyard. And which exits with exits leading to the Temple Mount. I don't know what the significance of that is. Anyway, he says, therefore, the rooftops, the gagos, were part and parcel of the floor of the courtyard, meaning they're part of the Ritzvah Sazorah. That's what the Gemara means, gagoseim shavim lekarka Hazorah. Rav Salvechik is saying that makes it part of the Midos and the Chefts of the Hazorah.
Wow.
But the question is, what about your classical Alios and Gagos, which are above the ground? That's not Shoveh L'Karka Hazorah. That would not be included in the Chefts of the Hazorah. Therefore, the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Is that called Chad Makom? And therefore, the Kiddush in Makom would include even the Gagos and the Alios. Now he has another note here, I'll just let you go after this. He says, the Migdash and the Chatz, it's hard for me to read the English here, the temple and the courtyard, it drives me nuts. We'll call it the Migdash and the Chatz here, occupied the upper part of Harabayas. I guess he means topographically, it was higher up on the Har. However, the mountain was squared off, I guess he means artificially, squared off, by human intervention, and stairways were built at various intervals, so the ground was always level, but there were sections that were higher, and there were sections of the Mikdash that were farther away.
Wow.
He says, outside the Chatzer, see, here we need my friend Yehuda Singer to take us on a
tour.
He's a tour guy. Take us on a little tour of the Har Habayis. He says that outside the Chatzer, which is called the Ezras Yisrael, right outside the Chatzer, which was the last part of the sanctified Azara, there were 15 steps leading down to the less sanctified area, which is called the Ezras Noshim, which is part of the Har Habayis. Each step was only a half an amah tall, so the consecrated chatzer, or shall we call it azara, was 7.5 amos higher than the adjacent area, which is part of the Har HaBayis. The chambers hollowed into the ground underneath the end of the courtyard had their entrances at ground level. Fine. He doesn't again say the Rav's love is here, but I think if we understand this well, then we have. All right, John, thank you. I drove you a little nuts. I apologize. And we'll stop here. I want to wish everyone a great day and a great week.
Since many of us, since just about everyone in your classes are learning some form of coaching, can we arrange a tour of Harvard? I mean, I've been up there several
times. What I want to get first, because I tell you this would be more meaningful than even a tour, is a video. I got a hold of a video, but I was very disappointed. Maybe I'm not doing the right things on the computer. Maybe there's more to it than what I see. But in this video, it was great for Shechita, for Zrika Saddam, Azar Saddam. The blood was all over the place on this video.
Maybe
they do them. It's very cute because right after the Shechita, he takes the dam from the kli. Okay, he doesn't have a kli sharis, but from a kli, and he divides it up into small kelim, and he gave it out to all the children. And each child had to keep it. And he showed you how quickly the blood coagulates. So that video was very meaningful. But I need a video of the various parts of the base something with all the shitos on it. There must be such a video.
How about from Rav Ariel's?
Yeah, his group should have a video.
He doesn't speak English, but Rav Chaim, the second in command, Richard.